the storm we're in life, he does not fail. He is the Prince of Peace. And all that we can do in this world to help ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. And all that we can do possibly to figure out things to help us feel better, we may get a little better, but we cannot save our souls. We cannot save ourselves. This sickness, this dis-ease of sin, it causes such a disease in our bodies that it can even be something that sabotages our entire lives. But we have this hope in Christ Jesus. We have this hope that's been given to the whole world. Not the old only, not the young only, not the rich only, not the poor, not only the black, not only the white, but all people. Amen. Over all the world, throughout all time. Our text this morning is Matthew 1:1, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 1:1. This is the first verse of the first book in the second covenant. The first. After such a while of silence, it seems, Malachi's words at the end were speaking of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, calling that he would be like Elisha in his ministry, in his message, preparing the world for the king who was coming, making those crooked places straight, announcing the king is coming. He even was so bold to say, "Repent, you vipers," to people. Preaching in the wilderness. He was born for it. It was prophesied ahead of time that he would come, that forerunner, and that he would speak of the king. Matthew 1:1 says this, and if you will, please stand for the reading of God's word in honor of God's word. Matthew 1:1 is a very short verse. It simply says this, the book of the genealogy of Christ Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. These words seem very brief, but they are so very deep. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your presence with us and your mercy upon us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. We welcome you, God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, do what only you can do. It's your word, your church, your body, your building, and you are at work. And Lord, we long to grow in you and to grow closer to you and to be empowered by you and to see your glory. We long to see your glory, Lord, in the lives of the living. We long, Lord, to see your face, Lord. Your face is what we seek. We want your will, God. In this upcoming year, in this Christmas season, as everyone is rushing around and know sometimes in their hearts, Lord, they're not paying a bit of attention to why it's even Christmas. But Lord, you are merciful. And we seek you. And we're paying attention. We need you, Lord. Oh, how we need you. Oh, how we need you. Thank you, Prince of Peace, for speaking to us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking the will of God to us today. Have your way in this message, Lord. Your will be done, and let us receive your word and hold fast to it and think on it and retain it, God, and work for you and glorify you in service to you. In Jesus' holy name. And everyone says, amen. You may be seated. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Some scholars believe there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. These prophecies are specific enough that the mathematical probability of Jesus fulfilling even a handful, let alone all of them, is staggeringly improbable, if not impossible. Peter Stoner, the chairman of the departments of mathematics and astronomy at Pasadena College, was passionate about biblical principles. With 600 students from the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Stoner looked at 8 specific prophecies of Jesus. 8. They came up with extremely conservative probabilities for each one being fulfilled, and then considered the likelihood of Jesus fulfilling all 8 of these prophecies. Gets a little bit more stringent. The conclusion to this research was staggering. The prospect that anyone could satisfy those 8, just 8 out of 300 prophecies, was just 1 in 10. I believe it's said to the power of 17. 17 zeros after 10. In Science Speaks, he described it like this in this magazine. Let us try to visualize this chance. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. If you mark 1 of 10 tickets and place all of the tickets in a hat and thoroughly stir them, and then ask a blindfolded man to draw one, his chance of getting the right ticket is 1 in a 10th. Suppose we take 10 with all those 17 zeros after it. Silver dollars, and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all the state 2 feet deep. Now mark 1 of these silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly over the whole state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up 1 silver dollar and say, this is the right one. What chance will he have of getting the right one? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man from their day to the present time, providing they wrote using their own wisdom. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God who had a plan from the very beginning. And he laid out that plan. Faith is factual. They are built on facts, the facts of Jesus Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit breathed the words of Scripture that we read today. He breathed these very words of eternal life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. This verse states that all Scripture is breathed, God breathed, and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. The Greek word here used is literally translated to God breathed. Not just an inspiration, I got an inspiration to write a poem. Not just an inspiration, I got an inspiration to paint a picture or write a story. This is God breathed. God did this. All of this in its entirety. And who is he pointing at? He's showing us himself and his great love for humanity and the coming king that we spoke of last week. 2 Peter 1:21 says this. This passage explains. It says, for the prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets throughout though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I just want you to know that you can rely on God's word. You can rely on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. The title of this message is Jesus Christ, Son of David and Messiah. The title of this message is also Christ Jesus, Messiah and Son of David. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Matthew spoke of this so profoundly. From the beginning of the book of Matthew all the way through, Jesus is pointed out clearly. The book of Matthew is the first of the four books about Jesus, and they are similarly constructed. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. That means they are seen together. Its perspective is from Matthew, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you get to Mark, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what Mark is writing from his perspective, that joint effort, but God is inspiring every single word. Not one word, not one T, not one dotted I is off. It's all correct in the God's word is just correct. It's infallible. This is not only based on a true story, y'all. You know, you hear someone say, I want to tell you a story. And then immediately you may think, I wonder if it's true or false. This is not only based on a true story. I like to watch movies that are based on true stories. I really enjoy that. But they're not wholly true and completely true. This is. This is the truth of Jesus of Nazareth recorded by the Apostle Matthew. What a rich thing we have right here, a heritage right here, right before us that we can, here in America, read anytime we want. We need not to take that for granted, because there are many in the world that cannot read. They do not have the opportunity. They have to hide to even speak. And it's getting worse in some countries, in some places in America, even. The book of Matthew is a compelling witness that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. And when we look at Scripture, we need to pay attention to how it is in the context that it was written in the scene it was written in the day it was written in. And we also need to pay attention to how it's affecting us today, because it ever lives. It lives. It's alive. The Word of God affects us even today and throughout eternity. Christ Jesus is the prophesied fulfillment of God's promise of true peace and deliverance for both Jew and Gentile, for all nations, peoples, tongues, throughout the world. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. 1:1 through 17 is the genealogy. Bear with me. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I read this and I started crying before I got to the end. Yes, I'm a crier, but the power of the Holy Spirit was touching my soul. There's so much more than what I can exclaim to you in an hour of a service on one day of a week. We have a wonderful class going on teaching us the deeper depths of the Word of God and what it is to be the church. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed and Ruth by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. And Abijah, the father of Asaph. And Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, the father of Jerome. And Jerome, the father of Uzziah. And Uzziah, the father of Jotham. And Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amoz, and Amoz, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jehoiakim, and his brothers at the time of the departure to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. And Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel was the father of Abiad, and Abiad the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliad, and Eliad the father of Eleazar, And Eliezer, the father of Mathan, and Mathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. See what I'm saying? Of whom Jesus was born, called the Christ. Called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from to the carrying away deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. From the deportation to Babylon to Christ, 14 generations. And here we stand today, still seeing God's work in generations of people. This proclaims that Jesus, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This talks about his authority as king under David in his heritage and his lineage. He has the right of a king. He has the bloodline of a king. And he is the Son of the living God. It proves so many things when you read these verses. And who knew? The genealogy? We don't like to necessarily read the genealogy. It caught me off guard while I was reading it in my studies months ago. The genealogy of Jesus, the heritage that came before him. And if you go to Luke chapter 3, it talks about even back to Adam. He captures before Abraham to show us that Jesus is fully God and fully man. Matthew records the miraculous way that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, came into this world in Matthew 18:25. I said that wrong. Matthew 1:18:25-25. I'm going to read it. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her privately, quickly, quietly, is what it says, quietly. Not quickly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Sometimes we have a plan. We think it's the best route. And then God interrupts, doesn't he? This is God interrupting. It's very important. God interrupting Joseph's plan. Joseph, is what he said, the angel said, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Here's a prophecy fulfilled and recorded in the New Testament. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. He was obedient. He honored God in being obedient. The book of Matthew demonstrates this. If you study the book of Matthew, demonstrates that Jesus is the rightful king of Israel in the lineage of King David. Even here, when we're seeing here this angel speaking to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, David the king of all Israel, the lineage is being pointed to of who Jesus is. The book of Matthew demonstrates him as the Messiah. The book of Matthew demonstrates Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise made to his ancestor Abraham to be a blessing to all nations. And that's what we see when we read just the first verse. The first verse, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now the Israel people, they knew. The Jewish people during this time, they knew what this meant when this was being read and when this was written and when these things were being talked about. They knew what the message meant. They know their genealogy. I can only go back about four or five generations. They can go back. We could count them. It counted them for us. For the Jewish people, then and now, Matthew, through the power of the Holy Spirit, seeks to win hearts of his people, to pursue them, to recognize Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah. Simultaneously, Matthew's gospel reveals that the Messiah, Jesus, is the one who brings salvation to all the nations, not just Israel, all the nations. His birth was acknowledged even by the Gentiles. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. This is when the wise men came to visit Jesus. He was approximately 2 years old, little toddler. Little Emma's about that old. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. He was hearing of another king. He was afraid he was going to lose his throne. And all of Jerusalem with him was troubled. They didn't know what this meant. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him. How did they tell them? They told him because they knew where he was supposed to be born. It was prophesied before in the First Testament. We call it the Old Testament, but it is actually the First Testament before this Second Testament. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly. You know something's up. Something's wrong. Something's gone sideways when things are done in secret like this. And ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." Can you just hear that in his voice? That insincerity. He had another ulterior plan that he was wanting to do, which was not at all about worshiping God or even believing in God. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them, went before them until it came to the rest over the place where the child was. I just find that very interesting. I'll look to the sky. I wonder how they followed it. I wonder what it looked like. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. They went for the right reason. They went to worship a king. They went to worship the Messiah. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream, here's another dream, God was on the scene. God was paying attention. God was taking care of things. Jesus, he grew up like human beings do. He was persecuted. If Herod had gotten his way, he would be dead today. We would know. He would be dead. He would have eradicated him. All through history, the enemy of God is trying to destroy God's people. And he began by trying to destroy Jesus as well. But God warned in a dream, warned these wise men not to return to Herod, and they departed to their own country another way. They got out of Dodge. Matthew recorded the miraculous way that Emmanuel, God with us, came to the world. Matthew demonstrates Jesus' rightful king. He is the rightful king of the lineage of the King David. Matthew demonstrates Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises made to his ancestor Abraham to be the blessing to all nations. The Jewish people now and then. Then and now, Matthew, for the Jewish people, Matthew, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaks to win those hearts and our hearts. Matthew still works to demonstrate that Jesus is that long-awaited Messiah. The Gospel of Matthew encourages believers to stand firm amid any storm, any opposition, any persecution, in any day and any time. Matthew also tells us of how Jesus was fully human, fleeing these persecutions, brutal persecutions. Praise you, Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew speaks to us today who are true believers. Speaks to us of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He is encouraging us as well to stand firm against the opposition. We can securely know our citizenship is not of this world. Our citizenship, the citizenship of the true believer, is God's kingdom. By reading and studying the Gospel of Matthew, the Word of God, or any of the Gospels, we can know our identity. We can find our identity in the Word of God. So many people are lost about their identity. So many people justify them being lost by their identity in their identity, but here is the answer. And the enemy doesn't like it at all. This is the answer. This is the answer. If you want to know who you are, what your purpose is, you can find it in God's Word. We, in the Word of God and here in Matthew, know that in Christ we are true people of God. True believers are Christ's church. True believers find their unity and service to Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Against all opposition, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the book of Matthew demonstrates, provides an instruction for all people, God's people, to make disciples from all nations who form a new community. This is what we're learning about on Thursday nights at 6:30. On the 8th of January, don't miss it. We can catch you up on what you have missed, if you've missed. This community is centered on the devotion and the obedience to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, no matter the cost, no matter the opposition, no matter the persecution. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, if we are focusing on Jesus, the Son of the living God, if we are focusing on that and not the things that sort of try to distract us here and there, we can live that holy life. We can follow his steps. We can win the lost. We can be that disciple maker, that person who is not only serving God with all of our own hearts, but also helping come alongside someone else who is starting out or who is coming to Christ to show them the truth. This gospel of Jesus Christ, this word of God is meant to love them in, not beat them down. And we can love them in by loving them with his word, step by step, day by day, in our example, in our praying, in our studying, in our drawing closer to God, in our not canning it like they do in the canning food for another day, but just letting it flow. Letting the Holy Spirit, letting him flow through our lives. There are many infallible proofs revealed to us by the word of God. I want to share with you 8 prophecies. Just 8 out of all of them. Of Jesus' birth. Not only was Christ's miraculous birth prophetically revealed, but God planned his lineage from the very beginning. And if you look into Matthew and just that first part, and even, well, Matthew and just that first part, you find people who failed God. And God was merciful over and over again throughout the genealogy. God loves us. And nothing will thwart his plan, but we can skip out on him and lose our blessings. Thank God that we can come to him and ask for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You know, when people are far, far away from him, when they call on his name, he will hear and he will answer when they call repenting. And when they call and ask him to forgive them, he is waiting to hold them like a father who's waiting for the son to return to the Lord. His arms are stretched out. This prophecy, not only was Christ's miraculous birth prophetically revealed, but God planned throughout the lineage from the beginning. The nations will be blessed through Abraham's lineage. That's a prophecy. That was a promise. The prophecy happened in Genesis 12:3. The Lord said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This was fulfilled by Jesus. And the word of God in Acts 3 says this, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. This is Acts 3:25-26. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Acts is quoting it. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. His servant, Jesus. God's covenant with Isaac's ancestors was also prophesied about. Here's the prophecy, and it's found in Genesis, way back at the beginning, again, 17 and 19. When God said, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. The fulfillment by Jesus. Romans 9:7 says this, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. There is a lineage, a line that comes down through history, all the way down to Jesus. This line was planned by God from the beginning, all the way down to Jesus. And when Jesus hung on that cross and he gave his blood goes all the way down to this heart Y'all point at your heart. Point at your heart. All the way down to you and me. The nations will be blessed through Jacob's offspring. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Genesis 28:14. Why will they be blessed? The fulfillment of this is by Jesus. Jacob, as part of Jesus' genealogy, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. Luke talks about this in chapter 3. It's fulfilled. The sepulcher will come through Judah. The prophecy is the sepulcher will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he who to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be this. Genesis 9:49-10. This is fulfilled in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Judah is a part of Jesus' genealogy. The son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah. It's talked about in Luke 3. David's offspring will have an eternal kingdom. The prophecy is this in 2 Samuel 7:12-13. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is kingdom. This is Jesus' kingdom. This is God's kingdom, which we are a part of. The prophecy is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And we read it in the very first verse of Matthew. The very first verse. This is the genealogy of Christ Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. A virgin will give birth, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Yet another prophecy. Now remember, at the beginning, just one of these is hard to fulfill. Here's six so far. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Years before the birth of Christ. Now, yes, we want to interpret the scripture based on the setting. This is a prophecy that speaks to the setting, and it speaks to Jesus' birth. The fulfillment by Jesus. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, when he spoke to Mary. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. Now Luke 1:37 says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. So if you feel or believe or quandary or worry or concerned about, maybe you question, how can this be today? How could that have been? Maybe this happened or maybe that. I want you to know that God is able above and beyond what we can imagine to do what he wants to do, to change the way things are, period. He can cause the donkey's mouth to open up and speak English if he wants. And if he can do that, then surely he can take a woman like me, and he can use me, and he can take a person like you, and he can use you to speak the word of God. These things are true, and they are proven. The Messiah will end up in Egypt. What? The Messiah? Prophecy says this, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. Hosea 11:1, another prophet in that First Testament. The the fulfillment by Jesus. So he, Joseph, he had got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he was staying until the death of Herod, because, see, Herod was seeking Jesus' life. But Joseph was warned, and he obeyed again. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." This is found in Matthew chapter 2. The last one I will share with you today is Christ will be born in Bethlehem. Out of all the places he could be born, all of them, Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you were small, are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Micah 5:2. This was fulfilled. Where was Jesus born? Where was he born? Bethlehem. Every manger scene kind of points that way, doesn't it? It also talks about and speaks out that there was a star involved. These shepherds were involved. This oral history where people are talking about this and reading God's word and sharing this is seen in the way we celebrate Christmas and the season. The fulfillment by Jesus is when he had called together all the people, the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." I see several themes in this today. If you've been paying attention through the weeks, if you've been in the class, if you've been in this services, in the sanctuary, you're seeing something, I pray. Jesus is revealing himself. I remember weeks ago he asked us what, if we would do something for him. And we come to the end of this message today and we're back at that. Because when we come to the end of Matthew, we will see this again. What is it the Lord wants from us today? People go around and they seek the Lord. "What's your will for me, God? What do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me?" The Lord wants these things, and I'll share. We don't have time this morning to look through the prophecy of the forerunner of Christ. I kind of mentioned that earlier. The previous testament ends with Micah speaking about him. And he did come, and he did proclaim boldly to make straight the paths of the Lord. He preached the gospel message of Jesus. He preached about Jesus coming, and he preached repentance. There is no other way but through Jesus. We can't make it. We can't make it. We can't create a relationship with God on our own. We must have the Holy Spirit drawing us, Jesus forgiving us, and we must take part in obeying the Holy Spirit and asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Then we must take part in turning away from sin and walking towards Christ, focusing on him and his word. The true church, the Christian, the true Christian, it would be hard for them to sin. Because the Lord, he knocks. "What are you doing?" He knocks. "What'd you say?" "What is your attitude?" He knocks on this heart. "You tell a lie. And if you're God's child, you ain't going to be able to run, hide, or anything. You're going to feel such a conviction." Thanks to be to the Lord. And you must make it right. You must. Blatant sin is an evil, wicked thing that tears down your relationship between you and God. And a repentant heart. Can get cold and indifferent to God and not be repentant anymore. as the days go by and the excuses are made, and then a person turns away. They'll pick up things along the way as they turn. They'll pick up things of the world. Oh, this must be true. Oh, this is right. I'll make up my own way. Pride will enter in, and a crashing fall in the end, because no sin will enter into heaven. You have to have the blood of Jesus covering you. You cannot be walking on it, trampling it under your feet. You must turn and serve your God. He created you. He loves you. There are many things to know and learn from the four Gospels. And we just touched, I'm talking one drop of water out of Matthew for an hour, maybe not a whole hour. One drop, just a small portion of this beautiful book that proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David, the Messiah. Just in those words are a lot of things packed in. I hope you hunger and thirst after righteousness. I hope you hunger and thirst to know Jesus. You can't be righteous without him. I hope you hunger and thirst as if it's the very life that you live. You can't make it without his word. I hope you hunger and thirst after him. If you hunger and thirst after him, you will draw nigh to him. His word says that he will draw nigh to you if you draw nigh to him. But if you shut the door on him, he is not rude to come in. He will warn you. Time and time again, he will warn you to straighten it out. Come to me. Repent. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Will we hear him? Will we listen to him? Will we come? Will we receive this wonderful gift from on high that we celebrate during this Christmas season? Now, the climax of Matthew is this, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. I'm going to turn. We know this as the Great Commission. 16 says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now this is Jesus risen. When they saw him, they worshiped him. This is not the end of the story. The cross and the death on the cross is not the end. It's not the end. There is eternal life to be had. In Christ Jesus, we can walk on the streets of glory. But that's not the big deal. We can see our loved ones. Oh, how wonderful those that have gone on before us to glory. We can see them, but that's not the big deal. That's wonderful, but that's not all there is to it. We can see Jesus. To be ever present with the Lord. Face to face, we can see him. I hope you long to see him. Jesus in verse 18 says, and Jesus came and said to them, and he says to us today the same, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, he did not say he left us alone. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Now, what did we hear from the Spirit of the Lord who spoke to us today in this service? That he is with us. He is the Prince of Peace, Jesus is. He is with us. Will you come, Jack? Praise team. is the very reason of our salvation. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the Son of David, sends his followers into the world to preach his message, the gospel message, the good news. There is no news like the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants us to serve him.